we extend to you a warm welcome to our radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Are you angry with God? Many people are. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that in our relationship with you, there are times that we can be very tense. There are times when we can wonder. There are times when we can even be angry. Angry with you, God. Help us to understand that your people of days gone by also had these same experiences. And then teach us this day, through your inspired word, what we are to do when anger towards our Heavenly Father comes into our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, you who are our Savior, you who have died for us, you who have redeemed us and brought us into a personal relationship with God, come and speak to us through your holy word, for it is in your name we pray. Amen. The music that is heard on our program today is from the London Philharmonic Choir and Orchestra. The scriptures that I read to you today are verses from Psalm 44, where the psalmist says, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them." And then in verse 9, "But now you have rejected and humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You made us retreat before the enemy, and our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep and have scattered us among the nations." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
For the glory of the skies, for the
friends in Christ. We often think of the Bible as a book that has many comforting thoughts. You may not be a believer in Jesus Christ or consider yourself a Christian to say that the Bible is a worthy book. It's good to have in our home. And it's also good to have a few passages of Scripture that are marked where we can read on certain occasions. It's sort of like a poetry book with thoughts that lift us up, the unbeliever would say. But for those of us who are acquainted, at least to some extent, with the Bible, it is a book that we turn to often, especially when bad news has come our way. When you have had some shocking news that has come to your family, and you give your pastor a ring, what do you expect him to read from God's Word when he makes his visit? Is it Psalm 23? Oh, oftentimes I have had these calls and made the visit and have read even Psalm 23. And if not Psalm 23, then Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence does my strength come? My strength comes from the Lord, who has made the heavens and the earth. These are beautiful passages of God's Word. They are appropriate and can well be read to bring solace to the people who are in need at that time. But sometimes it is not this nice verse or two that comes from one of these portions of Scripture that I have already quoted. Maybe it's something else in God's Word that really needs to be read. You know, the days later, when reality has set in and you begin to realize that the loved one is not going to come back, that he or she truly is dead, or that the diagnosis of your physician is right, your days are numbered, or the stock markets have fallen, and your fortune is really gone. And there you sit, facing the realities, all alone. Now what do you want your pastor to read from the Bible? You're angry, confused, guilty, weary? Well, if that happens to be your state of mind, I believe I have just the right psalm for you, and it's Psalm 44. For here is a person who is angry. I don't know how you could interpret that psalm any other way. Here is a person who really is frustrated at God, but he believes in God. He is no atheist. He thinks of God as his father. I believe that there's a very personal relationship, or that psalmist would never have been able to pray the way he did. Listen. Consider this a prayer. Oh God, we have heard with our ears, and our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations, and you planted our fathers, and crushed the peoples, and made our fathers flourish. It was not their sword that won the land, nor did their arm bring them the victory. It was your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you loved them. And notice he's going back to what he has heard from his fathers. Oh, you should think of this day, my son, one of those old Jewish fathers could have said to the children. Yeah, you should have remembered the days when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt. And he had to cross the Red Sea, and then they get that story of how God provided a way out for Israel across the Red Sea, but there many of the Egyptian army died. Well, you should remember the account of Joshua as the people were going into the Promised Land. Jericho, the falling of the walls, how they all came a tumbling down. It was God who brought them down. Or you ought to think about King David and his fighting the Philistines. That one little man out there fighting the mighty giant Goliath. It was God who was doing it. And so the psalmist had had all of this presented to him as a lad by his father's grandfather, whoever it might have been. But today, Israel was in a different situation. No longer could they say, God is with us, God is sustaining us, God is knocking down the enemy wherever we go and giving us the victory. But now notice, and here you see, and if you don't, then you read it differently than I, and I'd like to hear from you. You see the anger of this man of God. But now, God, you have rejected. You have humbled us. You no longer go out with our armies. You make us retreat before the enemy. And our adversaries have plundered us. You gave us up to be devoured like sheep and have scattered us among the nations. You have made us a reproach to our neighbors, the scorn and the derision of those who are round about us. You have made us a byword among the nations. The people shake their heads at us. And then he says, give me a reason, God. Don't I have a right to know why I am being treated as I am? What wrong have I done? Oh, don't give me that we have done anything so wrong. I want to know right now, what is it that you're punishing us for, because we are really sick and tired of it, God? Now, let's stop right here, shall we? Do you ever have thoughts like this? Now, I know sometimes it takes a great deal of grace to look down deeply into our souls and say, well, this is really describing me. I have to admit it. I can see where there would be some times that it would be very angry. I recently taught at a camp in another part of the country from where I lived. And during the course of 1 week's stay with these wonderful people who were so kind and nice, in our talks, some of them were in real depth, I experienced a certain amount of anger. And I come back home and I sit and visit with some of our people. They're not shouting. They're not grinding their teeth. But I think of that little lady who worked hard all of her life, as did her husband. And he accumulated enough money that could see them through a good retirement. And now it is practically all gone. And the question that she is asking, with I'm sure a bit of anger in her heart, how could they do it? Oh, I think her anger is primarily at the corporation and those who have misled in such terrible ways. But there is also probably just a little anger at God, and why didn't he lead and direct them differently? Or I think of those women, two of them who are very dear friends of ours, two of them who are devout people of faith. But now they have had some very discouraging diagnoses from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And it doesn't look good as far as their future is concerned. There can be a little anger there. In visiting with one just the other day, I said, how are the spirits? And she said, up and down. Wouldn't yours be that way too? I'm sure mine would be. And when they're down, could there be some anger as well as frustration and all the rest? You don't have to be ashamed, friend, to say, yeah, you bet there's some anger. I don't want to leave my friends right now. I don't want to leave my children, my grandchildren. I don't want to leave the nice things that this world is giving to me. But the days have gone by, and I can see my life changing right before my very eyes. Financially, I was set for life. Now what can I expect? The period of mourning, when a loved one has been taken from us, has often been described as that time when we have to work through our feelings. And some of those feelings are anger, confusion, weariness. And now it isn't just the 23rd Psalm, as wonderful as it is. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's going to come. But right now, there might be a few things that I have to get off my chest. And that's what the psalmist is doing. Don't tell me that we have gone away from you, God. Listen to verses 17 and 18. He's very clear. All this happened to us, though we had not forgotten you or been false to your covenant. Our hearts, he's talking about the inner person, had not turned back. Our feet had not strayed from your path. But you crushed us. It is not that we went out as a bunch of pagans. Oh, we were not perfect. We were sinners. We sometimes turned our back on you. I know that. But so did our fathers. They were the ones who also could say, well, I don't think God is quite right here. They were your rebellious children. We've all been that since the fall in the Garden of Eden. But nevertheless, we hold on, as I am holding on to you today, the angry person can say. I want answers. And then finally, it's just like that whole emotion just suddenly peaks, and he says, wake up, God. Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Why do you hide your face from us? Can't you see how miserable we are? And you say that you love us? God, get real. Do these words echo our feelings? Is this sometimes the way we feel about God? Can we make an application here? Perhaps this is not the quieting time to read those words from Moses. The eternal God is your resting place, and underneath are his everlasting arms. Maybe it's to have a time with God when, so to speak, you want to get it off your chest. No, I don't want to have all of this sentimentality right now, God. I may screech at you, I may holler at you, but you've given me the right to do that, and somebody could say, how dare you talk to God like this? He is God. But isn't it interesting how the disciples did that? Remember when the disciples were with Jesus in the little boat on the Sea of Galilee, and it was being tossed to and fro? And where was Jesus? He was up in the bow of the boat. And Peter went up to him and said, Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? This thing is going to go over. Jesus turned and said, oh, you of little faith. You see, they could come to their father with their tensions, with their frustrations, with their angers. Three times, Paul said, I went to the Lord and said, look, Lord, I've got a thorn in the flesh. And you know that I will be a much more responsible and more effective person in the working of your kingdom if I enjoy good health. Now, what did you do this for? Why don't you take it away from me? I can't help but believe that there was a certain amount of anger there. It's a part of our emotion. We can bring all of our concerns to Almighty God, and that includes these angry feelings too. How can I come to my Father? Because he is my Father. When difficulties come our way, those who are unbelievers will not even seek out God. They'll say, well, I don't even know if there is one. Why should I bother with him? And the person who says, well, I think there's a higher power somewhere, but I don't have much respect for him, or he wouldn't let this be happening. Why can a good God let all of these things happen in the world of which we are a part? No, it's not in that way. It's like a child coming to the Father. You know, haven't you had an experience yourself When you were a child, didn't you go to your father and square off with him, or your mother square off with her? Now, you'd never have done that to the next-door neighbor. Why could you go to your father and your mother? You could go to them because they were your father and your mother. You had a relationship with them. You can go to your heavenly Father. For you have a relationship with him if you have confessed your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. My friend, in Jesus Christ, you have been restored into fellowship with God. And therefore, you may come with all of your cares, all of your frustrations, all of your sins, and make them known to him. Now, the psalmist here does not give an answer for his frustration in this particular portion of the Word of God. But there are many other places in the Word of God where our Heavenly Father says, you come with your anger. You let it all be known. I'll listen to you. I still love you. And this is the answer that you might get. I'm with you. I am with you always. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you in this predicament that you're in. I'll help you. And I'll uphold you with my righteous hand. That's who I am. You cannot take the promises of God away. He is with us. We cannot make God say things that he did not say. How we wish that we could have him say, I'll always be with you exactly like I was with your fathers. There'll be no difficulty that will come to you. He will not say that. He just says, I'll be with you. We can have that experience, friend. Sometimes we have to let it hang all out. And then the comforting words of God make sense. Then I can hear him say, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for I am with you. The answer to an angry man's prayer. Amen. Jesus, thank you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit organization that operates from the financial support of those who have helped and those who want to join with us in reaching others. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month Gem Club members. These regular gifts sustain the ministry during quiet giving times. Our contributors are truly special in this important ministry. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. You can listen to this sermon again, or print out this sermon, or a choice of several hundred sermons. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.